Well, if I were looking for a title to the message that I'd like to share with you tonight, I think it could be summed up in the third verse of 477, that song we just sang. Let me read it for you. It says, stand up for Jesus. Stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. I think that will certainly sum up what we're going to say tonight, and I'd like for us to begin by reading in the Mark of by Gospel of Mark. Michael, you got me doing it. We'll begin by reading in Mark's Gospel, the 6th chapter, and at verse 7. And he, the Lord Jesus, called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two. And he gave them power over all unclean spirits. And he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. But be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide, yet ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart hence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Take note of these two verses we're about to read. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Now I'd like for us to turn over in Mark's Gospel to the 9th chapter, the 14th verse. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 14. And when he, the Lord Jesus, came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O fatherless or faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowing, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" He said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Now, if you will, turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15, a very familiar passage. Now, this passage, of course, deals with a very important subject. It involves the matter of the vine and the branch relationship, reading from verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And shall we just bow again in prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for another Lord's Day, and this has been a blessed day, a happy day in the Lord for us that know the Savior. We have enjoyed so many privileges as believers. We did commence this day around the table, remembering our Lord Jesus Christ and the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. Our souls were refreshed and we were lifted up. Thank thee for the time we spent together, making serious consideration of what the Word of God has to say to our hearts. Lord, as children of God, we desire to obey. We desire to know more perfectly your will every day for our lives. Do help us in what we've read this evening, that it'll prove to be profitable to us, that we will learn from these things, we will apply the truth to our own lives, and be fruitful for thee. It's in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we ask this. Amen. Well, I trust that you were able to make the connection between the verse that I read in the hymn and what I have had to say in the scripture that has been read. I would like for us to think this evening, the few moments we're together, When God saved us and left us here upon the face of the earth, He had a purpose for leaving us here. If there wasn't a purpose, He could have taken us home the day He saved us, and we could have gone on to heaven. We could have been spared all of the heartache and the sorrow that accompanies living in this world that is under the curse. Could have taken us home. As you grow older, sometimes you think about going home. And you know that perhaps it may not be too long. We know not what another day brings forth. But since we are left here, and we're left here for a purpose, we want to know what that purpose is. I think what we read in John's Gospel, that 15th chapter, about the vine and the branches, give us a clue as to exactly what God wants to do in our lives. He wants us to be fruitful. I don't know how much you know about gardening and about raising things from trees that produce fruit and vines that produce fruit, but it is a very interesting hobby to have those things and to have them be very productive. And you search for ways to make them more productive. Pruning is a part of a successful gardener in the way that he prunes the trees and the vines and the things that he has. I think that passage in John 15 marks out very clearly that pruning is necessary. I haven't found in gathering among God's people and visiting among God's people and discussions, I don't think I've ever found a believer that didn't say he would like to be fruitful for God. When I say fruit, I'm thinking about producing something that God wants to see produced in each of our lives, producing something that is very akin to just what we are, other believers. It says in the Word of God that when we trust the Savior, that we become new creatures in Christ Jesus. We become something entirely different from what we ever were before. We are now in Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That person that we love and adore, we call Him our Savior and our Lord, and He truly is. He provides the power for living this new life that we have in Christ. That hymn marked out so clearly, if you endeavor to live that new life that you have in Christ in the flesh, it's a vain thing. You'll never succeed in doing the will of God by seeking to do in the flesh what only the Spirit of God can do in you for the glory of God. Your greatest effort, all the talent that you possess as an individual, and no matter how skillfully and how beautifully you may perform, unless, the Lord Jesus says, unless I'm in it, without me you can't do anything for the glory of God. This person that has saved our souls, this person that now personally lives within each one of our hearts by His Spirit. This life that we live by the power of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. And He wants us to be fruitful. He is the vine, the true vine. We are the branches. As I examined the experience of the disciples there when they were sent out, our Lord Jesus Christ entrusted those disciples with the responsibility in sharing in what he was doing while he was here upon the face of the earth. They were empowered to be witnesses for him. And they could perform miracles. There's no question about it. They possessed power that they had never had before. The latter part of that passage that we read there in the first part of Mark's Gospel, it said they had power over demons. They could perform miracles. They could speak to demons, people that were possessed with those demons. And those demons would respond because there was authority in what they had to say. And those demons left those people. They were delivered from that demonic power. They healed people. They had the power to heal. Our Lord could raise from the dead. Our Lord could take a man that was born blind and give him sight. Our Lord did many, many wonderful things that were so beneficial to the people that were suffering. But then we come to that ninth chapter that we read in Mark's Gospel, and a crowd had assembled, and there was something going on, and our Lord asked, "What's going on?" And this man raises a question about, "I brought my son who is possessed of a demon." I think he wanted to see the Lord Jesus, but evidently the disciples came between the seeing of our Lord and the time that they would arrive in his presence, and I don't think that was necessarily something that wasn't prearranged by God to teach us something. Because when he presented his son to the disciples and he said, "He's possessed of a demon. You have power. You have mystical powers. I've heard of it." Perhaps he had witnessed someone being delivered of demonic power. Perhaps he had witnessed some healing that had been carried on. Evidently, he wanted them to act and to perform what he realized his dear son so sorely needed. This life under the power and control of a demon was a miserable, miserable life. I think as we read that account in which he would take if it was a young man, evidently he wasn't too old, just made his life miserable. But they were unable to deliver his son from the power of that demon. What has happened? I would think first and foremost they were mystified. What has happened? We do not have that power that once we had. Oh, at one time we could speak and say to the demons that possessed a person, "Be gone. Leave that person. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Be delivered of that demon." And they were delivered, but not so in this case. So here this man stands and said, "I went to your disciples and they couldn't deliver my son from this demonic power. I brought him to you." He says, "Please, please, sir, if you can, please, please, help my boy." We read that our Lord Jesus Christ, well, he raises a question. He says, "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us." And our Lord said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe." This man responded in a rather spectacular way. It says he cried out with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." I don't know how strong my faith is, but you help my weak faith. If I'm lacking in any faith, help me. I'm desperate. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. He delivered him. He delivered him. Do you have a thought in your mind at this time why it was that one time these disciples so powerfully were able to perform miracles, but now, at a different time, there is no power? What has happened? What has happened here? Did you perhaps think, as I did, that perhaps this is possible for this same set of circumstances to happen to you and me as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ? Michael mentioned our Saturday morning men's Bible study and prayer. We've been looking at some scripture that has encouraged us to reach out and seek to deliver the message of the gospel to souls that need to be saved. We have had to make an honest admission. We don't see many people coming to the Lord Jesus. Out of a group of men that range from 10, 12 or so or more each Saturday morning, there was not any evidence that any one of us in the last weeks or months we had not been personally involved in making known the gospel to someone and that person trusting the Savior. We could even reach back further than that. And that caused concern to us. We have been praying. We have been praying. I trust that as we think about this tonight, if your life as a believer has not resulted in any fruitfulness for God, you would quietly in your closet before God ask him why it is that my life is so impotent, I am so powerless to spread the good word and have souls come to Christ. We've been doing that. We've been doing that daily. We've had opportunities. We've been recording opportunities. Just this past week, we had some wonderful opportunities to share the gospel. We did not coerce. We did not put pressure upon people. We wanted to quietly see God work in the salvation of a soul. We did everything that we believe was honoring to the Lord in witnessing to that person and telling them that by faith in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, they could receive God's salvation, the forgiveness of all of their sin. You know, just to hear those words, if you're not a possessor of eternal life and you have no assurance that your sins are forgiven, you know, that should be so arresting to each individual that hears that message. But to look into the face of a person and it has little or no impact on them, that's so disturbing. Doesn't seem that for a moment they're frightened by that thought. Who knows? We read in Scripture that the best we can say of ourselves as those that go out and want to spread the word and sow the seed, one sows the seed, one waters, but God gives the increase. Sovereignly, we believe that only God can save a soul. We are his servants. We are his co-laborers. We have this wonderful privilege of being involved in carrying the message of the gospel to the world we live in. We want to do it with power. May I suggest to you that sometimes being a believer and living for the Lord and witnessing for the Lord can become something that is so routine that, like the songwriter said, and like we read in Scripture, that the disciples were impotent and had no power, we may think that we are the most important part of that matter of being a witness for God. Before our Lord Jesus Christ left this earthly scene, he said, "You will receive power when the Spirit of God comes upon you. You will be my witnesses through that power to the world that we live in." Do we sometimes forget the source of the power? Do we forget who is really behind this? Do we forget who is really doing what is miraculous and wonderful? Do we think that we are responsible for what is happening? I'm a servant. I serve the living Christ. It's Him living in me that wants to evidence His power through my life. Do I recognize that? I think that the disciples, it had become something that was so routine that they forgot who was doing it. They forgot who was doing it. I wonder if that's true of us. We witness to a soul. Are we aware that as a branch in the vine, nothing can happen unless the vine is involved? That life that comes forth from the vine, that life that is so vibrant, so powerful, and can do miracles, do we forget that that's the source of the true blessing that we can be to others? I know that must have been an embarrassment to the disciples at that time. They were probably bewildered. Something has happened. Something. Maybe they discussed it among themselves. What's happened? Do you remember what the last words were of that passage we read in chapter 9 of Mark's Gospel? Do you remember what they were? They said, "Why can't we do this? Why can't we do this anymore? What has happened?" He says to them, "This kind only come forth through dedicated prayer and discipline in your life, fasting." And you know, two things have been introduced into this picture. There are two of the hardest things you'll ever try to do in your life. To discipline yourself to pray. We sing that song, "Sweet Hour of Prayer." I don't know how many people in this room would say that I pray for 1 hour every day. I don't know how many. I'm not asking. I'm just asking you to think about it. Do we pray about everything? Do we commit ourselves to God? Do we enlist His help? Do we recognize the source of His power? Through prayer. When I make known the message of the gospel to this soul that stands before me, and he is in the grip of Satan, he is bound by the god of this world, and I want to see him delivered, do I recognize the one that can deliver him? In fact, the only one that can deliver him is our Lord Jesus Christ. Or have I developed some kind of smug confidence that I just have a way in witnessing? I have a charisma about the way I witness to people, and I'm very effective. I can get them to make a decision for Christ. You know, all of this comes into the picture when we begin to think about witnessing for the Lord and bearing fruit for God. It can be of Him or it can be of the flesh. How many times do you hear of someone making a profession of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ? And you know and I know you look for reality in that life. Because if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creation. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. We're looking for reality in that life. We want reality to become the thing that evidences that this was real. This person was born again, and they have eternal life. The other part of what he said regarding fasting deals with the subject of discipline. There's so many things that can hinder our witness for God. You know, in the book of Hebrews, we are urged to lay aside every weight, everything that would hinder the Spirit of God from functioning powerfully in our lives as a witness for God. When we say fasting, some people have in their mind about not eating that Big Mac or drinking too many Pepsi Colas or whatever. And you know, and I know, in the light of what the Scripture has to say about fasting, you don't really understand what it's all about. When the Scriptures talk about fasting, it's talking about a discipline in your life that will not allow anything that would weaken or deter your witness for Jesus Christ to the world we're living in right now. I hear it all the time. The time that is consumed by so many people in looking at television. Television is a wonderful invention. Can be something that's very enjoyable. But it can gobble up more of your time and having you engaged in something that's just a mindless endeavor. I don't think there's anything that rivals it like television. When I hear someone say, "I cut the television off in my house," we only allow ourselves to look at television at certain times, and we discipline ourselves. We don't look at much television. I've known people to take the television out of their houses. They had children. I talked to a gentleman that he came home one day and he observed his children. They were all in the house and it was a beautiful day and none of them were out in the yard. None were playing. None were engaged in anything but sitting in that position of being just spellbound by what they were looking at on that screen. He questioned them about, "Have you practiced your piano work today?" "No." "Have you done that special assignment in school that you said you were working on?" "No." He told his wife, "Tomorrow that television will no longer be in this house." You know, that wasn't a very popular thing. You want to be popular with your children and everybody to be happy. But he said, "I determined that thing had to go for their sake and for my sake." We didn't have the television anymore. He said the end result was more practicing on the piano, more skill was seen, school grades just went up. Because there was more time for something that was meaningful and profitable. Think about adults. I tell you, one of the things that is so sad to me is to go to a nursing home. And I see people sitting in wheelchairs. Many of them, their heads are down. But over in the corner, there's a television. And they're just sitting there. and that light is flickering back and forth and all that is taking place there. They don't know what's going on, but it has become a babysitter. It's become something that is supposed to pacify old people and keep them quiet and keep them from wandering around. That's enough about television. But there are so many things. You may recognize something in your own life that you emphasize so strongly in your life. And you say, I need to discipline myself. That thing is out of control. I'm spending too much time with something that will perish with all that is in this world one day. And I could be involved quietly with my Lord in a prayer of intercession for God. I could be somewhere else and I could be involved in witnessing for Him and being profitable for God. You see, we make that decision in our own hearts what we're going to do. I'm sure the disciples were embarrassed. They lost something that was very valuable, power with God. Could it be that many of God's people today have lost power with God? It's not a lack of power being available to us. What can be more powerful than God working in our lives? He is omnipotent. That same power that He exercised, it can be exercised in your life and in my life. He can speak powerfully through us only if we allow Him. Isn't that something? God would allow you and me, poor, frail human beings. He knows our frame. We're made of dust. And He would allow you and me to make a decision. That's that important. But did you listen to what I read in this passage? I think every one of us in this room would say, yes, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. You remember what it says? It says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. If you love me, you will obey me. Our Lord says, I've given you power to go out into the world. I have let you become a branch in the vine. I have arranged it so you can produce fruit, much fruit for God, if you allow me to work in and through you, through me, because you can't do anything without me. The disciples lost. They lost that whole concept of it was Jesus Christ working through them that provided them with power. And they were able to perform miracles. You want miracles to happen in your life? I want miracles to happen in my life? You got to let Him do it through you. Oh, He wants to work in our hearts and lives. Sad to say, sometimes we won't let Him. We're too busy doing something else. And then we convince ourselves, well, I can do it. I can do it. I've done it before. I think in preaching sometimes, you know, you say, I've got some good notes, and I can preach a good sermon. What value is in it, unless He's in it? What value is it in those wonderful messages that are brought over the television, over the radio, from the pulpit today, unless He's in it? I'll tell you, without Him, we can't do anything for the glory of God. My prayer is that we'll let Him. Let Him who loved us and gave Himself for us, let Him be preeminent in our lives and let Him exercise that power for the glory of God. That's my prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we bow in Thy presence this evening, we thank Thee and praise Thee for this Lord's Day and for the time we spent together. And we pray that it'll be profitable and will be profitable for You. In the name and for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus, we ask this. Amen. And Michael has a verse of the hymn.